Praise the Lord. Glory to God. That we serve an awesome God. Hallelujah. Give him some praise. Hallelujah. 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 Glory to God. Let's get excited about the kingdom. Hallelujah. All right. Well, let's begin with prayer. Father in heaven, we love you and bless you and thank you. We thank you for your goodness, oh God. We thank you, Father, that your eyes see everything, that there is nothing that ever happens in our lives that is a surprise to you. So, Father, we thank you. Just knowing this, we can just rest. We don't have to stress out. We don't have to, Lord God, run here and there, but we can trust in you. We not only have faith in your word, but we trust in you. And, Father in heaven, we pray that you will speak to us tonight. We have ears to hear. We know, Father, that faith comes by the hearing of the word of God. So our expectation is that our faith will rise and increase tonight. We thank you, Lord God, that revelation knowledge comes from you. So we have an expectation to receive a spiritual understanding. Father, we thank you that inspiration comes from you. Father, that as we hear the word of God tonight, that we will be inspired to go on, to go further, to reach higher, oh God. Not to run from challenges, but to face them head on. Because Jesus Christ has already wrought the victory for us. And Father in heaven, we just give you thanks and praise. Speak tonight, because our ears are hearing. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Open your Bibles to Matthew chapter 16. I know the CD ministry, they're waiting for a title, and so am I. So when I get it, I'll let you know. I just got a title. The title of this word is Discerning the Signs of the Times. Discerning the Signs of the Times. Reading from Matthew 16, starting verse 1. The Pharisees also with the Sadducees came, and tempting desired him that he would show them a sign from heaven. And he answers and said unto them, When it is evening, you say, it will be fair weather, for the sky is red. And in the morning, it will be foul weather today, for the sky is red and lowering. O ye hypocrites, ye can discern the face of the sky, but can ye not discern the signs of the times? You can discern the face of the sky, but can ye not discern the signs of the times? That whole area of discerning is very important for the saints of God. And here, they were able to operate in the natural, but the Son of God was in their very midst and they could not discern that. They could not even discern it. The signs were all around. Turn to Genesis chapter 8. The long-awaited Messiah was staring them in the face and they could not discern that he was there. The Pharisees were busy trying to find ways to trap Jesus in his words, and even assigning trying to take him, trying to destroy him. They could not discern that the very one they were trying to destroy was the one that came to deliver them. They were spiritually blind. Genesis 8:22, very familiar scripture. While the earth remaineth, seed time and harvest, and cold and heat, and summer and winter, and day and night shall not cease. As long as the earth remains, these things will be in the earth, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, and day and night shall not cease. Hold your hand there. Turn to John 16. Now, in here, I'm not going to focus on the seed time and harvest part. I'm going to focus on the other three areas. So in John 16, 33, Jesus says, These things have I spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. These things have I spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In Christ, we have peace. In the world, there's tribulation. In Christ, there's peace. Out in the world, there's tribulation. In Christ, there's peace. Be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world. Turn back to Genesis. In the Christian walk, we are taught to live by faith and not by sight. We are taught to believe the word of God and not to believe our circumstances. We are taught to believe that we've been translated into a different kingdom, that the kingdom of God is established right here on this earth and it's established in our hearts, that the things that are not available to the natural man are available to us. Amen. We are taught these things and these things are true. But Jesus says, in this world you will have what? But be of good cheer because I have overcome the world. So whatever we may ever face in the world, Jesus Christ has already overcome. But we must make sure that we live in him so that we can have peace during the times of tribulation. Amen? In Genesis 8:22, it says that as long as this earth remains, there will be cold and heat. There will be summer and winter. There will be day and night, and it will not cease. Jesus said, I must work while it is day because the night cometh and no man can work. So there will be day and night. There will be day and night in the lives of the believers. Since you've been born again, have you experienced a night? Yes, I've experienced a night. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. I've experienced a night. I've experienced heat. Even though we know in Jeremiah 17, it says that those that trust in the Lord won't even see when heat comes, but the heat will come. And then when the heat comes, then you act on the word of God so that that heat is not going to burn you. Amen? So there is winter and summer. So let's say there are seasons, and we must discern the seasons that are going on in our lives so that we'll be able to operate and use the right tools to deal with that particular season. I mean, I'm a person, I love spring and summer. I've had enough of cold weather. And how many of you know sometimes in Chicago, it seems like the winter will never cease. It seems like the winter will never cease. And we make a joke that there are two seasons in Chicago. There's winter and summer. But somehow, no matter how cold it gets, and I am not a cold weather person, don't like skiing and any of that stuff. Some people do, and that's okay. But no matter how cold it gets, I have faith. Somehow, I know it's not going to last forever. I know that one of these days, whether it's in March, April, or May, one of these days, the weather's going to break, and it's going to get warm, and the sun's going to come out. Amen? And I know that. And even if you don't know Genesis 8:22, by experience, you'll know that spring and summer will come every year. And even if you're a child and your parent tells you, well, it's not going to be cold all the time, spring is coming, you'll believe the authority figures in your life. So, cold and heat exist in the life of believers, and summer and winter, and day and night, and it won't cease. And so what we as believers need to understand is that sometimes there are days and sometimes there are nights. But when we know and we can anticipate, we can know that in Christ we have peace and we are to be of good cheer. In the book of Isaiah 12, I think it says, with joy we draw waters from the wells of salvation. And so there are certain things and there are certain instructions that God gives us in the word so that we know how to deal with the seasons. Turn to Ecclesiastes chapter 3, again, a very familiar scripture, chapter 3 and verse 1. How many of you have heard of the term spring cleaning? How many of you do spring cleaning sometimes? Yes. Now what, you know, why do we need to do spring cleaning? Because there are things that happened in winter that leave a residue in the spring. And so in the spring, you have to kind of clean up. You have to fill the potholes, the city, fill the potholes. You have to trim the lawn. You have to aerate and whatever you do, you know, to your plants and your flowers, you have to do that. And there might be repairs on the house, you know, whatever it is. Because if you don't do the spring cleaning and the sprucing up, then your home and your property, it won't show in the best light. because you didn't quite tend to the things. You didn't do the damage control. Amen? So sometimes in the winter times of our lives, there's a little damage that takes place, you know? And unless we do the damage control, when the spring comes and it's time to change the seasons, we're still focusing on the things that happened in the wintertime. And we didn't kind of fix it up and repair and do all so that when spring comes, we're able to enjoy the change of the seasons. Ecclesiastes 3, verse 1. To everything there is a season and a time to every purpose under heaven. You know, when seasons change in our lives, most of the time God does not ask us permission. You know, God, sometimes he doesn't let us know when things are about to change, but you start discerning the signs of the times. And even sometimes when things happen in our lives, like, you know, a loved one passes away or you know, an elderly parent, you know, have to care for an elderly parent, or some things happen in life that totally change your agenda. Yes. You know, someone passes away and you end up raising their children, or something happens, and these things are not in the plan. God sees those things, and he knows we're going through those things. And so don't stress out that your plans and your goals and all these things that you have lined up, say, I'm going to accomplish this, this, and the other, and then things happen. I'll speak to wives. You know, you may have the greatest plans that you have for your day, but between your spouse and your children and everything else that's going on, you can go through your whole day and not hit number one. Anybody ever, you know what I'm talking about? And so the challenge is for a woman is not to start to resent the interruptions that God has blessed you with. Okay, when you start resenting those around you that you have to tend to because you didn't get to your list or you didn't get to your things, you've not discerned that today that was not your season to get those things done. And so, you know, there are things that happen to us and even disappointments and things that go on. And we need to be able to discern what is an appropriate response. In Deuteronomy, let's turn it, we'll come back to Ecclesiastes. Let's turn to Deuteronomy chapter 30. Because how our lives turn out are going to be dependent on being able to discern, to discern what's going on, and then to be able to make the right decision. In Deuteronomy 30 verse, let's start. At verse 5, and the Lord thy God will bring thee into the land which thy fathers possessed, and thou shalt possess it. He will do thee good and multiply thee above thy fathers. And the Lord thy God will circumcise thine heart and the heart of thy seed to love the Lord thy God with all thine heart and with all thy soul, that thou mayest live. And we'll skip up to verse 15. See, I have set before thee this day life and good and death and evil. And that I command thee this day to love the Lord thy God, to walk in his ways, and to keep his commandments and his statutes and his judgments, that thou mayest live and multiply. And the Lord thy God shall bless thee in the land whither thou goest to possess it. But if thine heart turn away, so that thou wilt not hear, but shall be drawn away and worship other gods and serve them, I denounce unto you this day that ye shall surely perish. Verse 19, I call heaven and earth to record this day against you. I've said before you, life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life that both you and your seed may live, that you may love the Lord, obey his voice, cleave to him, for he is your life and the length of your days, so that you may dwell in the land. In verse 6, it says, God will circumcise your heart to love him with all your heart and with all your soul, that you may live. And in those times when the seasons, when it looks like there's a winter, When it looks like, you know, there's a fall, it's like all the great and the glory of enjoying the good weather, and then the leaves start to fall off the trees, and you look in your life and things aren't quite going as smoothly and just flowing. It's at these times that it's important to continue to choose life. And it's during those times of transition, when the seasons are changing and things around you are changing, when I notice just things, unexpected things that come up in my life, and when things are changing, I notice I always try to guard my heart. That's one of the biggest things in life that I endeavor to do, is make sure that I don't let anything into my heart that doesn't belong there, and I don't allow anything to come out of my heart that doesn't belong there. When my husband and I met, we were both working for IBM, and so I have a computer background 30-some years ago. And when we were learning computers, they had a little flowchart to explain the concept. And this is before PCs, this is way back. And where you had input, process, output. Input, arrow, process, arrow, output. And so at that particular time, they were explaining running batch programs. Anybody know what I'm talking about? I'm going way back. Before you had the computer displays and you could interact, you put things on punch cards, okay, and you fed it into a card reader, and then the computer crunched the numbers, and then you got the results. So, it doesn't look like I'm that old, does it? Yes, I remember. But in any case, in our lives, those are three times where we need to be vigilant. We need to be vigilant when things are coming into our lives. We need to be vigilant when things are going on the inside of us, in our hearts and in our minds. And then we need to be vigilant when things are coming out of us, out of our mouths, our actions. And there are two areas that I call their filters. When we filter things that come in, and then we filter things that go out. Things that come into our lives, whether it be through words or actions or events, a lot of the same events happen to people, whether they're saved or unsaved, whether they're rich or poor, no matter what race they are, things happen to people. Yeah, as the phrase is, life happens. Yes. Unexpected things happen. Things come up. But it's up to us to decide what kind of impact that event is going to have on our lives. And the people who seem to do better in life, the people who seem to latch on to success in life, are able to deal with the events that happen in their lives and not allow the things that are unexpected to detour them from their goals and to cloud their vision. One analogy I like to use is that in the path of life, if this is time, in the path of life, you're going to hit some potholes, or you're going to come across some potholes, and you may see it soon enough, you may discern it soon enough to avoid it, but it may catch you by surprise. And I remember one time I went right in a pothole, messed up my tire. I said, "How did I miss that?" But I got it fixed. I didn't park the car and sit and look at that pothole and say, "Why did you mess up my car? Did you see I had a new car?" I mean, I didn't fixate on the pothole. I just fixed the problem and kept moving. And sometimes people fixate on problems. People fixate on offenses. People fixate on, "Why did this happen to me?" People fixate on, "Why did they do this to me?" That's not going to solve the problem. That's not going to move us ahead. Okay? Sometimes life is not fair. As they say, let's get over it. And sometimes you have to school yourself to get over things. And when the seasons are changing and you go through a good season, things are going well, you go through a challenging season, that's when we need to be consistent in our confession and consistent in our believing. There's a scripture that says, what does God require of us? But to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with our God. And I remember that scripture. When it doesn't look like things are going the way I'd like them to go, I said, well, what is God requiring of me? Do justly, treat people right, love mercy, be compassionate, with people and walk humbly with God. And if I can do those three things, then hey, I'll make it through this day. Amen. The Bible says that Enoch walked with God. Noah walked with God. Abraham was a friend of God. God doesn't have his checklist. And when we, you know, don't seem to live up to faith and power, messed up there. But I think sometimes internally we do that. So if we've managed to filter out those things that happen and cast down those imaginations, then now it's the process time. Now it's time not to let that inner voice start speaking words of condemnation. But as the Bible says, if we meditate on God's word day and night, that what's going to rise up in our spirits is the word of God. And we're not going to allow seeds to be sown in our hearts that are going to cause us to operate in the flesh and to reap corruption. Amen. Okay, let's go back to Ecclesiastes. Is this making sense? Okay. Ecclesiastes 3 verse 1. To everything there is a season and a time to every purpose under heaven, a time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant and a time to pluck up that which is planted, a time to kill and a time to heal, a time to break down and a time to build up, a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance, a time to cast away stones and a time to gather stones together, a time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing, a time to get and a time to lose, a time to keep and a time to cast away, a time to rend and a time to sow, a time to keep silence and a time to speak, a time to love and a time to hate, a time of war and a time of peace. So we must discern, what time am I living in right now, and what is my appropriate response and what is my appropriate action? Now I'm going to go on a side trip. I was reflecting the other day. This is kind of totally different, but I think it relates. On man being created in God's image and his likeness, and then God pulling woman out of the rib of man. That when God created Adam and his wife, they both were created in the image of God. Okay, God did not pull Eve out and somehow create a nature that was not like him.
Amen. Amen.
So men and women are made in the image of God.
Amen.
Okay? I'm not preaching heresy here. We are both made in the image of God. We are different. There are qualities that God left dominant in the man, and there are qualities that he made dominant in the woman, but we are both made in the image of God. And so I've been thinking about that lately, because I'm studying a series on marriage, and he's talking about differences between men and women and how God made our natures different. And how men, you know, are the more logical and women usually are more emotional. And I made a decision after really, really knowing that we are both made in the image of God to use the strengths that God has given me as a woman to reflect the nature of God that is like that. God is emotional. I hope this is not a surprise to anybody. I mean, men, you may tell your wives, now don't get all emotional about this. But God is emotional. And we can point chapter and verse. God is talking with Moses, and God has had it up to here with his people. He said, let me wipe them out. I'm going to start again. You know, and it said the Lord's wrath waxed hot. Hey, what can I say? So I bring that up to say, you know, we looked at about, you know, a time to do this, a time to do that. That I believe that God has put some things in each one of us, And as men and as women, we need to yield to that nature to walk in the righteousness that we're to walk in. Sometimes in society, the world is trying to get more, like Pastor Barnett preached, you know, the other Wednesday, trying to get men to be more like women, trying to get men to get in touch with their feelings, and then trying to make women more masculine, you know, to, especially in the workplace. And I made a decision that I've really had enough of the world trying to tell me how to be. And from the shoes that I wear, and the clothes that I wear, and the brows that I get waxed, and all that other stuff, and the stockings I have to wear, which I don't want to wear, you know, it's like, and forgive me for going on a side trip. But my spirit is always trying to discern, is this coming from the world or is this coming from the kingdom? And if it's a standard that the world is trying to conform me to, then I have the freedom to rebel. Whether it's the roles of men and women, okay, because the world has all kind of weird ideas about what we're supposed to be doing and how we're supposed to be doing it, because all they have is natural knowledge. All they can do is study what they see. And if they're studying fallen man, they're not studying truth. So they come up with their solutions based upon fallen man. And you know, there are some things that you can learn from observation, but it's always got to go through the filter of the kingdom. And if it doesn't line up with the kingdom, well, then we just need to, you know, spit the bones out and adopt what God has. So sometimes we need to do damage control in those winter seasons through some spring cleaning. Sometimes we create winters for ourselves. Sometimes it's not the natural progression of seasons. Sometimes the choices and the decisions that we make, we didn't choose life, we chose death. Now we thought we were choosing life because there is a way that seems right unto a man, but it wasn't the right way. And so let me give you an example. When we come and we hear faith, and especially for baby Christians, you know, you hear, I can have what I say, and sometimes without proper discerning, they latch onto a truth. You ever known anybody like that? And you know, we've all probably been there. You hear a truth, you latch onto that truth, and you kind of ignore the other truths because you're trying to press on and you're trying to push. I believe God, you're really trying to push, but it's not from revelation. And so let me give you a natural example. Pastor uses the laws of flight a lot. That you have the four different laws when you fly an airplane. And when you get knowledge of those laws and understanding of creating the technology, even though the law of gravity is there, you can overcome it. You can use technology to overcome a natural law. And you can fly a multi-ton 777 in the air. Now, through technology, you could probably make it so that you could fly an airplane in the air, and we know with the military jets, they can refuel in the air. They don't even have to land. That you could create a jet flying in the air, and you could refuel it in the air so that it never has to land. You could just keep refueling. You could refuel again and again, and it could be fly for days, fly for weeks, fly for months. Now, is that very practical? Not really, especially if you have a destination that's on the ground and you're perpetually flying, that really wouldn't make a lot of sense. but you could do it, but it really wouldn't make sense to spend all the money and the time and the effort and the resources because it's not practical, because the end result isn't something that's going to benefit anybody. And so let me use another example. Anybody ever been to college and you stayed up all night studying for an exam?
Amen.
Now, we know that that's really not the best way to do it, but we did it anyway. Now, you can make a decision to drink as much coffee, get as much caffeine, you know, and try to stay up days on end. Now, you can do it. You can pump yourself up with whatever drugs you can so that you'll never go to sleep. But how many of you know that there's a law that's going to kick in? And somewhere you're going to crash. It's not practical. Okay? So in the things of the kingdom of God, I think sometimes we set in our minds that we're going to make this thing happen. We're going to do this thing. But we're excluding a lot of the other elements. And we're getting really, really disappointed. So, you know, God has a divine order. And like he said, there are seasons. And as long as the earth remains, there will be seasons. And so we need to learn how to deal with the unexpected things in life and learn how to deal with events and with people in a way that's effective. There's a scripture that says that what knowledge puffs up, but love edifies, love builds up. And so instead of just pushing faith, 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 sometimes you got to kick in some love.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. And sometimes faith, 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 but sometimes you just need to stop everything and worship.
Amen.
Amen. Sometimes we get so caught up in our faith projects and we keep racing and running and racing and running. Sometimes we just need to hold still. Because the external is getting way ahead of the internal. So there are times and there are seasons. And God is with us. He's with us in the summer and the spring. He's with us in the fall and the winter. He is with us. Even if we can't really feel him. Even if it feels like we're in a desert place, God is with us and God sees us. And so those are the times, yes, I have faith in his word, but those are the times where we just have trust in God. And we affirm our trust in God. I remember there was a time I was going through a winter, and I don't know if I said it out loud, but I said it in my heart to God. I said, Lord, I feel like my soul is dying, like I'm in famine. I just need some water. I don't know if this happens to you, but it happened to me. And so he led me to a scripture. He always leads me to a scripture. And I don't always remember the numbers, but I know the verse. And there's a scripture that says, he hath delivered my soul from death, and he keeps me alive in famine. So even during that season where it felt like a drought, where it felt like a dry, dry summer, God in the word and God gave me the scripture, and it's like the revelation word of God will break the power of that winter so that you can transition on into the next season. There are many things that we can do in our relationship with God that can help us break free from the winters that are extending much longer than they're supposed to extend. If there's one thing that I could impart to God's people, it would be to seek God with all of your heart. There are so many distractions, and there are so many things that keep us busy. But time with God, however you spend it, If it's in the Word, if it's praying in tongues, if it's just getting still, if it's listening to a worship tape, whatever it is, make sure that continually, regularly, every day, that you spend some time realigning, because the world gets us out of alignment, just like a car.
Yes.
And if you've had cars where the tires are not in alignment, and it's pulling you to the side. And so there are things that happen in life that keep pulling us. It keeps pulling us, like that thorn in the flesh. But when we realign, when we get in God's presence, stay in God's presence and realign, it does something supernatural. Pastor's been preaching on supernatural. There is something that you cannot explain that happens when we get into realignment with God. The scriptures has the answer to every need, every desire, no matter what plan, no matter what goals, no matter what challenge you're facing. God has your answer. It may come through the word, but it may come through the word of a brother or sister in Christ. But however it is, understand that we're in the world, but not of the world. So let's make sure that we are seeking the kingdom and seeking the kingdom way, that we're guarding our hearts and not letting the seasons that come to get us off of our path and to shake our faith. And this walk, it's just not for us. I reflect, a lot of times I reflect on the culture that we're in and how far off base it is from the kingdom.
Yes.
And one of the negative things that have happened in the culture is that it has tried to get adults so preoccupied with what they're doing.
Yes, yes.
That they're not training their children and not bringing their children along with them.
Amen.
Saints coming to church and leaving their children at home.
Amen.
If we are not teaching our children the word of God, they're not getting it.
Yes.
You may bring them to children's church, but that's just once a week,
that's
maybe
right.
Twice a week.
Right.
Our children are facing things that we have never had to face.
Yes.
They are being exposed to things that we weren't exposed to. Sometimes till we were off to college, these children are being exposed to. And so now we must, as parents, on purpose. We must on purpose mold our young people and shape them and feed into them to prepare them for life. By the time a child is 18 years old, they should have gotten the instruction that they need to deal with the affairs in life. They may not know it all, but the seeds should have been sown so that when they're away from dad and mom, they do know what to do. They do know how to be resourceful. They do know how to curb their flesh. That there is enough word on the inside of them that when they go off to college, and we know what things they're exposed to in college, that when the temptation to sin is there, that word will rise up. Now, it's their choice whether they obey it or not, but if we have sown the word on the inside of them, they're not going to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Amen? So as much as we don't like all the different seasons. Some of you may like all the seasons, but they're here. And so we deal with them with a good attitude.
Amen.
Say good attitude.
Yes.
That's another thing that I work on. Doing things with a good attitude. Making myself do things that I don't necessarily feel like doing because it's the right thing to do. Making sure that even though the circumstance may warrant me having a pity party, not allowing myself to do that and doing what is right anyway. Walking in love anyway, showing honor and respect anyway.
Amen.
That is because it's the right thing to do.
Amen.
And we do the right thing not because folks are watching us,
Amen.
But because God is holding us accountable to live according to his word. Each season can have its challenges. If you look at nature, You can have flooding in the spring. You can have drought in the summer. You can have tornadoes and hurricanes in the fall. You can have the bitter cold in the winter that burst pipes. So there are challenges no matter what's going on. Even when life is at its best, there's a danger in believers thinking that, well, you know, they don't need to go to church now. You know, let's go on a picnic on Sunday, or, you know, it's amazing how many things that we can find to do that will hinder us from being consistent. I believe that God had us to worship once a week and to come together. It's for a reason. If we didn't have regular times where we came together as a body to sit under the word of God, to worship together, to fellowship together, we'd be acting just like the world. So it's important for us not to let the pull of the world deter us. Hallelujah. Okay. And the last thing, again, using natural analogies regarding the seasons, that technology provides a distortion of things. There's power in technology. There's power. And so when there would be a natural progression of things, you bring technology into the picture and everything changes. When you bring the internet into the picture, when you bring teachings coming into the public schools that do not agree with the truth and agree with what we are teaching our children, see, there are factors that start to get beyond our control. There are things that are able to come in that that have a huge effect on society. Glory to God. One of the last things I'd like to share, again, talking about seasons, turn to Mark chapter 10. And then we'll close. And again, this is related to season, and this is related to the season of harvest. Mark 10, 29. And Jesus answered and said, well, let's go up a little bit. Let's start at verse 24. And the disciples were astonished at his words, but Jesus answereth again and saith unto them, children, how hard is it for them that trust in riches to enter into the kingdom of God? It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. And they were astonished out of measure, saying among themselves, who then can be saved? And Jesus, looking upon them, saith, with men it is impossible, but not with God. For with God all things are possible. Then Peter began to say unto him, lo, we have left all and have followed thee. And Jesus answered and said, verily I say unto you, there is no man that hath left house or brethren or sisters, or father, or mother, or wife, or children, or lands for my sake and the gospel's. But he shall receive 100-fold now in this time, houses and brethren and sisters and mothers and children and lands with persecutions, and in the world to come, eternal life. So here Jesus is saying that no man that has left things for his sake and the gospel's, There is no sacrifice that you can ever make on behalf of the kingdom of God. There is no sacrifice that you can ever make having to deny something in your life to walk before God that God will not bring you a recompense for that. Amen? He said, he shall receive 100-fold now in this time. So the sacrifices that we make in life We don't have to wait till we get to heaven to receive a reward for choosing God, for choosing life. It says we'll receive a hundredfold now in this time with persecutions. Now, the persecutions, it may appear when this, anybody ever been persecuted for anything? And you know, your flesh may tell you, boy, things are really bad. Boy, they're really talking about you. They have set you up. They have set you up to get fired. You know, all that you, the senses will tell you that this is a winter season. It's looking bad. It's sounding bad. It's feeling bad. We might as well throw up our hands. But in Jonah, it says, they that observe lying vanities forsake their own mercy. That it may look like it's an off season, but that may be your exact harvest season. Amen? That's why God has us to walk by faith and not by sight. Because it may look like it's the worst time. There's a scripture in Ecclesiastes that says, he that observes the wind will not sow, he that regards the clouds will not reap. And we've heard the sowing part. It may not look like it's time to sow, but sow. But what about the reaping part? It may not look like your harvest is there. It may look barren. It may look cold. It may look desolate. It may look like the whole world is trying to fall on your heads, but that's your harvest time. And so as believers, we can train ourselves not to believe what we see, not to believe the negative reports, not to believe what our flesh is telling us. He says the hundredfold comes with persecution. So let's not cast off our confidence. It has a great reward. After we've done the will of God, we shall receive the promise. He said the hundredfold, it may come with persecution, but the hundredfold shall come. So whatever sacrifice, whatever cross you feel that you've had to bear, whatever hardship you've had to bear because of unexpected circumstances in your families or regarding your financial well-being, whatever it is, God's word does not return void. And when we stay in faith, it pleases God. And God is not just concerned with the outcome of our faith, but with the process. Remember, input, process, output. He's looking at the process. He's looking at what's going on the inside of our hearts while we're enduring the hardship. What's going on in our hearts while we're waiting for that young person to come back home? What's going on the inside of our hearts, you know, after, you know, you've been laid off for the job and you're believing God and you're confessing scriptures and you're sowing seed. He's looking at what's going on the inside of our hearts. Hallelujah. And so our recompense will come. Our recompense is here. In whatever season is going on in your life, I guarantee you that God, he sees what's going on in our lives. It's not a surprise to him. He probably didn't send it, but he's the only one that can get us out of it. Amen. And so as long as we're in it, let's do things with a good attitude and let's keep feeding our faith on the word of God and understand that God is faithful. His promises are true. And when I think about heaven, I think about when we're going to stand before God and he's going to say, well done. Every time I have to make a sacrifice for the sake of making sure that I'm not violating the word of God, I know that God's got good rewards for me. We're on this earth for a very short period of time. We're with God for an eternity. And whatever sacrifice and whatever you have to deny your flesh, whatever changes you have to make in your life to line up with the word of God, I guarantee you it's going to be worth it. It's going to be well worth whatever effort you put into pleasing God and to walking uprightly before him. It is always worth it. You will see the fruit of your labors. You'll see the fruit in your children. You'll see the fruit manifest. How long will it take? I don't know how long it takes. It's already done in the spirit. God doesn't have to do something to answer your need. It's already done. But the process of standing on the word and seeking the face of God and subduing your flesh, through that process, you get to know him.
Yes.
Through that process, you get an understanding of how to discern.
Yes.
You get an understanding of how to tell your flesh to shut up.
Yes.
And how to allow your spirit to praise.
Yes.
When it may not look like there's anything to praise him about.
Yes.
So that's the way we live. That's the way Pastor Winston and I live. You know, we seek to please God and we seek to walk according. Now, do we always do it all the time? Well, you know, we make mistakes. But you know what? God is good. And my husband doesn't hold my mess ups against me. And I don't hold his against him. We're in covenant together. Amen. Amen. We serve a great God. So I want to encourage you, when the seasons are changing, just make sure that you stay in the Word of God and know that it is only temporary. Amen. God bless you.